he did it for a long time. Until my knees went numb and I became lethargic. Until the cut stopped burning and itching and driving me fucking mental. Then he made me lean on him and carried me out of the tub because I couldn't stand upright. I was a pathetic mess, a shadow of a person, and the very fucking thing I was terrified he'd see. I expected disgust or, worse, pity, but I couldn't see any on his face. He looked extremely focused as he dried me off, helped me put on some clothes, then let me sleep while strangling him. The thought that he'd leave triggered a panic so deep I was hyperventilating. I think I hurt him by how hard I clung to him, but he didn't seem to mind. If anything, he held me tighter and kissed my eyelids, my nose, my cheek, the top of my head, anywhere he could reach. That's when I finally fell asleep. He left me alone the day after, although I could tell he had a lot of questions. But then I found out the reason he didn't get in touch was because he was fighting my brother the following night. I asked him not to. I begged him even. But he went along with it anyway. There's something Nikolai doesn't know that I've been keeping a secret, aside from my fucked up state of mind. His sister Mia is in some sort of relationship with my brother. When I found out about that, I tried to warn her away. She was as hard-headed as her brother and wouldn't listen. Lan is also acting uncharacteristically possessive of her, which he's never done with his previous conquests. So I hid that from Nikolai, because I could tell he holds a massive grudge against Lan, rightfully so. But even without that information, he still went on with the fight. I had to stand there and watch Nikolai and Lan go at each other's throats and nearly beat each other to death. To say I was livid after that would be an understatement. Not only because Nikolai still went on with the fight, despite me begging him not to, but also because of Lan. He suspects something, and he was positively murderous after the fight. He wouldn't stop asking, "Why the fuck was Nikolai looking at you like that?" While he didn't specify what the "that" was, I could see the accusatory look in his eyes and hear it in his tone. Telling him anything is just a disaster waiting to happen. So I deflected, and it's working for now. That night I naturally couldn't go to the penthouse, because Lan was watching me like a fucking hawk. I was sure if I'd left he would have followed me, no doubt about that. So I texted Nikolai. "Why on earth did you fight Landon? Now he won't stop pestering me and asking about why you kept looking at me."
"Nikolai, and it'd be the end of the world to tell him the truth?"
"If I do, he'll kill you."
"Not if I kill him first."
"He's my twin brother, Nikolai. You can't just talk about killing him and expect me to be okay with it."
"But it's okay if he attempts to kill me?"
"No, of course not. I'd much rather you stay away from each other."
"Is that your way of saying you'll never tell him about us?"
"That's just a recipe for disaster. He's not exactly your biggest fan."
"The feeling is mutual. I hate the motherfucker."
"Can't you just ignore him? I'm sure he'll ignore you too. Until the whole thing with Mia hopefully blows over."
"Nikolai, let me ask you. Do you ever plan on telling him about us?"
"Me? I don't think that's a good idea right now."
"How long do I have to wait? A month? A year? A decade? How long should I prepare to shove myself back into the closet with you?"
"I'm sorry."
"Fuck you and your fucking brother."
That was the last text he sent me, 6 days ago. 6 whole days. I've waited for him in the penthouse, but he never shows up. I've texted him a few times, but he's never replied. Every night I hope he'll come home. Every night I sit on the sofa across from the lift until I fall asleep. Sometimes I spend all night as obsessing and having to physically stop myself from bleeding my fucking wrist dry. The fact that he ghosted me after I opened up to him, even partially, has been messing with my head in ways I don't like to admit. Nikolai has always communicated with me. This is the first time he's not being an open book, and it's fucking me up. It's not like I can go to his campus or house, though Mia invited me to her birthday party tonight, so this is my only chance to see him.
Bran?
Glynn waves in my face and I blink.
Where did you go?
Nowhere. I'm just a bit exhausted.
I get it. Lan's been shadowing you lately, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That must be so annoying. What's his plan now?
I don't know. Though I do know. But it doesn't matter now that Nikolai isn't in the picture anymore. What if he really is done with me this time? What if he finally gave up after seeing that ugly side of me? The thought sends a rush of nausea to my throat, and I feel like I'll throw up.
Poor Bran is just existing, but psychos won't leave him alone.
Cecily pats my hand, bringing me back from the edge. Psychos, I frown. Do you mean Eli? He doesn't really bother me. He's actually pretty content when he's around me.
Not Eli, Nikolai.
My heart thuds against my ribcage, and I have to remind myself to breathe. Jesus, how desperate could I be to get so flustered at the mere mention of his name? Nikolai, I ask with the same nonchalance that I fake so well.
Yeah, he was asking me about you the other day when Jeremy took me to the heathen's mansion. He calls you Lotus Flower.
Cecily winces.
Oh, it gave me the creeps to see him that interested in you. Right?
Glynn snaps her fingers.
Whenever I go to visit Kill, Nikolai asks about my brothers, and I thought it was because of how much he hates Lan's guts, but he seems more interested in any tidbits about Bran. Did he always love art? When did he make his first painting? What does he like to do in his free time? What's his favourite colour? Movie? Parent? Jeez, feels like a police interrogation. What makes it creepy is how intense and insistent he gets. Jeremy said that's how he is, and if I don't feel comfortable, I shouldn't answer him, but still. Why do you think he does that? If I didn't know better, I would think he's crushing on you, Bran.
Glynn giggles and bumps my shoulder with hers. My body stiffens and I reach a hand to my nape, pulling up my hair until pain explodes not only in my scalp, but also deep in my soul.
Bran?
Cecily watches me carefully.
Are you okay?
Not really, I murmur, battling against being suffocated under the weight of my own admission. I am not okay. Have I ever been okay? I don't remember the last time I was okay. No, I do. It was when Nikolai hugged me to sleep. I was okay that night. Fuck it. I'm falling apart anyway. Might as well do it spectacularly. I let my hand fall to my side and face my sister. You're right. He's crushing on me. Or he was. Her eyes double in size.
How'd you know? Did he tell you?
You could say that. Actually, I've been with him for a while now. I regret my decision to just let it all out when Cecily spills her tea and Glynn looks at me as if I'm an alien. And these two are supposed to be the least drama-free and understanding people in the group. Bloody hell. I tighten my grip on the teacup. Are you going to say something or just continue to stare? Not that it's uncomfortable or anything remotely similar.
Sorry.
Cecily dabs at the spots of tea on the table with a napkin.
I'm just making sure I heard you correctly. Did you just say you've been with Nikolai for a while? Like the way you were with Clara?
Don't compare him to Clara. I couldn't care less about her. I'm losing myself because of him.
Oh my God!
Glynn breathes out and cups her mouth. That does nothing to hide her smile.
That day in the coffee shop, when Kill said Nikolai is exclusive with someone, could that, by any chance, be you?
Yeah.
Are you, like, coming out to us right now? What am I supposed to do? Can I hug you?
I'd rather not, I say, feeling a bit lighter that she's smiling. That's good, right? Cecily takes my hand in hers.
I'm so happy for you, Bran. I feel like a proud mama seeing you find someone you like. Yes, I hated that bitch Clara.
Glynn agrees.
She was such an opportunist. You know, I didn't want to tell you this, but that night we had a party in the Elite's mansion, I saw her trying to kiss Lan, and she was rubbing herself all over him. He threw her out and asked me not to tell you, since it would just hurt your feelings. I despise her so much, I can't even begin to express it.
Lan never mentioned that. But then again, he never tells me anything. And what do you tell him? You locked him out a long time ago. You, I watch them closely. Don't think it's weird that I like a guy after only dating girls all this time.
What does gender have to do with it?
Cecily strokes my hand.
I'm just happy you're happy. Me too.
Glynn interlinks her arm with mine and leans her head on my shoulder.
Whoever you like doesn't change who you are. You'll always be the coolest older brother ever. Best friend in the land of the living.
Cecily scoots her chair over and grabs my other arm. Thanks. My voice catches and I clear my throat. I'm lucky to have you both. Cecily smiles up at me.
So, how long have you been with Nikolai? Yes!
Glynn rests her chin on my shoulder.
We need deets.
A couple of months.
Wow, you guys really kept it under wraps.
Cecily shakes her head.
I didn't suspect anything.
I kept it under wraps. I am the one who didn't want to say the words aloud. It's not really about coming out. It's about everything else I have to admit when I come out. The reason why I didn't want to believe how so not normal I am.
You needed time. It makes sense.
Glynn says.
You were always with girls, so I never really suspected you were bi.
I don't think I'm bi. I'm just gay. The words flow from my mouth easier than I thought. Asexual, too. Or I was. I think the right term is demisexual. I can only feel sexual desire towards someone I like.
I kinda suspected the ace part.
Cecily smiles.
You were never attracted to anyone, no matter how hot they were. You looked at animals with more affection than you looked at your girlfriends. Animals aren't gold diggers.
Glynn punches the air.
I want to beat those bitches for using you.
They didn't use me. I used them. But that's not a conversation I'm willing to have.
I can't wait to see Mum's and Dad's reactions when they find out.
Glynn grins and then pauses.
That is, if you want to tell them?
I will.
They're going to flip their shit.
In a good or bad way?
Bran, you could literally be an alien and they'll love you. You're their favourite.
No, I'm not.
You totally are. Mum worships you, and Dad loves you so much. He's always like, Bran did this and Bran did that. Not sure he'll like Nikolai, though. He's a massive menace.
I wince. It doesn't help that he's Kill's cousin.
Kill can be civilized. Nikolai is, well, not. Why Nikolai?
Cecily asks.
No matter how much I think about it, you guys are worlds apart in character. Where he's chaotic, you're organized to a fault. He's unhinged. You're methodical. You're like opposites.
Maybe that's why it worked. Besides, he didn't really leave me much of a choice. He invaded my life and wasn't budging no matter how much I pushed him away. Well, that is until now.
What's wrong?
Glynn pulls away, frowning.
Please tell me it's not because of Lan. They fought the other night, right?
Cecily winces.
Jeremy said Nikolai hasn't been himself this past week.
It's not Lan, it's me. He didn't like the fact that I was hesitant.
But this whole thing is new for you, Bran. It's okay to take your time.
Glynn rubs my shoulder. Not if it means I could lose him. I think I hurt him whenever I do that, because he believes I'm ashamed of him.
Oh.
I'm not. I can't help thinking about all the other factors, namely Lan.
Oh, seriously, you need to get over your fixation on Lan's reaction to everything you do. I love you, Bran, I really do. But you give him so much leeway for all the shit he does. He doesn't even care.
She's wrong. Or maybe I'm also holding on to another myth that was never true. But seriously, what does it mean if I'm more worried about Lan's reaction than my damn parents? Not that I'm not concerned about Mum and Dad. I get a queasy feeling just thinking about that conversation. But Lan, I can feel my stomach dipping when I imagine the haughty, disappointed expression he often gives my art. He's always been perfect, and his disapproval gives me fucking nightmares.
I mean, not to be the devil's advocate,
Cecily grimaces.
But nothing good will happen if Lan knows about Nikolai. That'll be like when he learned about Killian and Glynn all over again.
That's what I said. I rub my face. Nikolai doesn't seem to agree. I really don't want them to fight again.
You're right.
Glynn's shoulders droop.
It won't be pretty.
You bitches! A loud voice comes through and we all groan as Remy slides to our table, dragging Ava behind him. I can't believe you're having afternoon tea without my lordship. If I hadn't seen Glynn's story, I would have been none the wiser. And then I find this one lurking in the house like a thief. You bitches will be the death of me, seriously.
I'm not a thief. I was just looking for Bran.
Ava kisses my cheek.
Hi, Bran.
Hey. Ava sits beside Cecily and hugs her.
Missed you, bestie.
Cecily rubs her arm.
Everything okay? Yeah.
She smooches her cheek. Remy pulls up a chair and invades the space between me and Cecily, and they fight about who gets to sit beside me. Since I'm the most level-headed of the group, they always want to be with me. I often get texts like, "It's boring without you, Bran." Even though I'm not a clown like Remy or hyper like Ava, I have a special place in the group. Why did I ever feel like I'd be judged by my closest friends, my intimate circle of support? No, it's not them I was scared of. It's me. It's always my fucking self. I'm my own worst enemy. So what were you talking about before my lordship's spectacular arrival? Remy steals Glynn's macarons and Cecily's tea.
Nothing.
Cecily winks at me. I shake my head at her and take a deep breath. Remy, Ava, I want to tell you something. Though I'm joined by Cecily and Glynn, my movements are stiff at best as we walk into the heathen's mansion. My sister and my friend have been here countless times, considering their boyfriends, but that's not the case for me. I remain in my element as we push past the partygoers. The heathens went all out with this birthday party. Countless lights cover the ceiling, casting violet and blue lights on the people jumping to the trendy music. Alcohol is thrown around everywhere, and I would really like to be wasted for this. But that's just cowardly. So I stop myself from snatching a drink. I catch a glimpse of Maya, who's wearing a glamorous white dress, dancing with a group of people in bizarre outfits. But I don't see Mia. A few weeks ago, Mia introduced me to Maya. And she's nice, but I prefer Mia's company. We're both introverts and get along without talking much. Glynn leads us to the second floor, and we continue pushing our way through. My chest aches when I catch a glimpse of Mia, dressed in the black version of Maya's dress, and dancing between Killian and Nikolai, though they seem to be kicking and punching each other. I really don't like it when Killian hits him. I know it's their dynamic, and they've been like that their entire lives, but he needs to stop putting his fucking hands on him, or I'll break them. Good grief. Where did that violent thought come from?
Hey, you.
Jeremy slides to our side, smoothly, if I might add, and kisses Cecily a bit longer than I'm comfortable with watching.
Hi.
She breathes as he wraps an arm around the small of her back. My gaze strays back to Nikolai of its own accord. He looks so damn well built, in a black t-shirt and jeans. A few rebellious strands escape his ponytail and fall on his forehead. His muscles ripple with every move, and the intertwined tattoos running down his biceps and arms instantly distinguish him from the crowd. I've always found him beautiful. No, not only beautiful, he's categorically hot. It just took me some time to realize that I was becoming hopelessly attracted to everything about him. The fact that I haven't been able to touch him for days on end is messing with my head. My gaze studies him closer, taking in his sharp jawline, full lips, and I frown when I get a clear look at his face. His eyes are dark, almost bottomless. His mouth is set in a line, and he seems off. Like that time during the fight. He must be having one of his episodes, though I'm not sure what type of episode it is. He mentioned they come and go. I haven't seen him in this state since that night of the fight. Only now he seems more closed off. And I want to... What? What the fuck do you think you can do when you're broken yourself? Killian notices us, or more like spots Glynn and stops dancing. Mia and Nikolai do too. My friend smiles at me. Nikolai scowls. My nape burns and my skin starts to feel black, inky and foreign. It's been a week since I last saw him, and while I didn't expect a welcoming ceremony, I also didn't think he'd look this displeased. Glynn hugs Mia and hands her a bag.
It's small gifts from the three of us. Happy birthday.
Thank you. You didn't have to.
She signs, then grins at me and types on her phone before she shows me.
I didn't think you'd come.
You personally invited me. I wouldn't miss it. I smile, fighting the need to ogle her brother.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Nikolai shoves Mia behind him and gets in my face, his voice harsh, face closed off. If it weren't for his familiar smell, though now mixed with cigarettes and alcohol, I'd think I was looking at a stranger. Is this how he felt every time I pretended not to see him in public? Because it's no different than having a fucking knife lodged between my ribs.
Another elaborate plan from your brother? What is it this time? Arson? Assault? Murder, maybe?
The coldness behind his words leaves me speechless. Nikolai never speaks to me in that tone. He never snaps at me. And the fact that he's done it twice now makes the grim possibility of losing him a terrifying reality. But you know what? Fuck him. Why the hell is he angry when he ghosted me for a whole week?
Bran is my friend. I invited him to my birthday.
His sister signs, her movement smooth and determined. It's okay, Mia, I tell her, and keep glaring at him. I couldn't care less about your brother's opinion of me, but it's probably better that I leave. She shakes her head frantically.
Mia is right,
Jeremy says somewhere behind me.
You're our guest.
Killian clutches Nikolai's shoulder.
If you can accept Glynn and Cecily, you have to accept Bran, too. He has nothing to do with Lan, despite the creepy physical resemblance.
He's right.
Glynn looks at me with an encouraging smile.
Bran is completely different from Lan, I promise.
Jesus. She sounds like she's selling me for some position. Nikolai's eyes never leave my face, and I can't help staring back. While I don't really like the anger, I like that he can't look away from me. It's the least he can do after disappearing on me as if I'm nothing. Mia jumps in front of him and signs.
Please don't ruin my birthday.
Nikolai flashes me one last glare before he releases a throaty sound and snatches his pack of cigarettes from the table. My frown deepens. Things aren't good if he's smoking. He told me he's a mood smoker and only resorts to them when the chaos in his head is too massive to contain. I really need to get him alone, talk to him, and make sure everything is okay. Just when I'm thinking about the best way to do that, the last person I need waltzes right in the middle of the scene like he owns the place. Lan scans his surroundings and then flashes us a diabolical smirk. What's with the tense atmosphere? I thought this was a birthday. Also, did someone mention the word Ruin.
28. Nikolai. For the first time in fucking ever, I don't have myself under control. And that's saying something since everyone always thinks I have a loose screw and can't be labeled sane by any stretch of the imagination. It's different this time. I knew it was disastrously different when I didn't want to talk to my dad. If I did, even he would be insisting on the pills. A part of me is insisting on the fucking pills. I hate the fact that I'm even thinking about that possibility. But there's no other way to kill this state of chaos. I haven't been sleeping, eating, fucking breathing, and have been surviving on violence, cigarettes, and alcohol. The alternative to the pills is being stuck in the middle of a black rage for the foreseeable future. Rage that can't be doused by any fighting, riding, or any extended fucking sight of blood. If anything, it's been mounting, intensifying until it's the only form of oxygen I suck into my lungs day in and day out. The only time I can breathe properly is when I stare at Brand's texts and stalk his social media like a stage 5 creep. I hate that I can't hug him to sleep or kiss him. I hate that I can't look at him and cling to him like an annoying octopus. After he poured his heart out to me in the tub, the last thing I wanted was to leave him. But I had to. I still have to. My current state doesn't allow for me to see him. I don't trust myself not to hurt him. I really, really fucking don't. Even now, I'm battling the urge to grab him by the fucking throat and bruise his lips in front of the whole world. He'd hate me for good this time, but who fucking cares? The only thing that puts a halt to my plan is the presence of his less pleasant eyesore twin. "What the fuck do you think you're doing here?" Jeremy asks on everyone's behalf. Everyone, and I mean every single fucking person present, is alarmed by the asshole. Everyone but his precious brother, who looks pained on Landon's behalf. He's never looked at me like that, has never shown me an ounce of the concern he unconditionally has for his brother. It's an illogical thought, but I can't shove it out of my broken mind. My muscles tighten and a flood of rage douses me in one fucking go.
"I thought this was a birthday and everyone was invited."
Landon speaks with a nonchalance that scratches my wavering resolve like nails on a chalkboard.
"You're not," Kill replies.
"Seems that I am now."
The motherfucker has the nerve to walk to my sister. My fucking sister.
"Happy birthday. Aside from the gift of my attendance, I have something else for you. But I'd rather give it to you in private."
My body moves on autopilot as I slam my fist in the cunt's face. He staggers back and blood explodes on his lip.
"Lan!"
Glenn leaves Kill and rushes to him.
"Just go."
"I didn't go through all the trouble of bribing incompetent security guards just to leave."
He continues talking in that casual tone that will get him killed, preferably tonight. I step forward to finish the job and lose his brother for fucking good because I'm suicidal like that. But Mia clutches my arm and then signs,
"He's not worth it, Nico."
I'm going to kill him. I'm going to fucking kill him. Kill.
"Time out."
He lifts a hand.
"Before you proceed with your attempts at rearranging my features, allow me to clarify an important element. I happen to be in the process of courting your sister, and any attempts at ruining my face will not play in the favor of said task."
What did this asshole just say? Did he just mention courting? And who? My sister? My Mia? I'm going to fucking kill you before you lay a hand on her. I storm toward him.
"Oh, that's already done."
Bran closes his eyes and pinches the bridge of his nose as he breathes slowly. What the fuck? He's not surprised. Why is he not surprised? "What the fuck did you just say?" I ask slowly, my fucked up brain refusing to believe the words I heard. No, I'm refusing to believe Bran knew about this fuckery all along. He wouldn't... Why not? He obviously cares about his brother's safety and opinion more than yours.
"I said..."
Lan stands toe to toe with me.
"The touching part already happened. In fact, our rendezvous included more than touching. But I'll spare you the details since you're her brother.
You fucking... I raise my fist, but when I'm about to drive it into his face, Bran slides in front of him. It's too late. My fist slams into Bran's face. Fuck. 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 The blow is so powerful that Bran falls back against his brother and Landon grabs him, then dabs at the blood at his lip. I don't resist when hands pull me back. I don't even know whose they are as I stare at the blood gushing out of Bran's nose. His face is pained, but he's trying hard to remain unaffected. Fuck! What the fuck have I done? Me hitting Bran? How could I do that, even unintentionally? My jaw ticks, and every fiber inside me urges me to make sure he's okay. But I can't do that when his fucking brother is all over him. So I direct my wrath at my sister. Is it true? Her eyes double in size like whenever she's done something she's not supposed to. This, however, is drastically different from sneaking out at night or plotting trouble with Maya. Is what the fucker said true, Mia? I ask again, a vein nearly popping in my neck. Have you been sleeping with him? She steals a glance at Landon and then signs,
It's not what you think.
And what does he think?
Landon releases Bran and I have to summon ungodly fucking resolve to not look at him and focus on his brother instead.
You shut up.
She signs.
I'm happy to shut up. But only if you tell the truth, and nothing but the truth.
What is he talking about? Kill asks with a note of tension. Mia flashes Landon her signature hostile glare and signs.
It was just a ruse that meant nothing. It's all over now.
He grins with a note of sadism.
I disrespectfully disagree. It was more than a ruse and is far from being over. Mia and I came to a slight disagreement about priorities and my notorious penchant for anarchy. Despite my dramatic entry, I'm not here to stir up any shit. On the contrary, I came to propose a long due truce between our clubs.
Not even when you're buried 6 feet under, I snap, and this time I can't help it. I steal a glimpse at Bran and pause when I find him looking at me. His eyes are begging. Pleading for his fucking brother. All this time, Landon has been an annoying asshole, and despite Jeremy's attempts to rile me up against him, I took Kill's side and let everything he did slide. Because, like Kill, I'm in too deep with Landon's sibling, and I can't hurt him if I want to be with his brother. However, Mia is off fucking limits. I'm going to kill Landon for touching my sister. No one will stop me, not even Bran.
I wouldn't be so quick to rule it out,
Landon says, still looking at Mia.
This rare chance will work out so well for both of us if you just give it a go.
My sister is not for fucking sale, I growl, my voice unsteady and dripping with the tension that's flooding me.
I never suggested that. Unlike what she said, Mia came to meet me every night. There was no coercion involved in our nighttime rendezvous.
What the fuck? I look at Mia as if an alien abducted my real sister and put an imposter in her place. She's not the type who'd fall for Landon's fake charms. She's... Mia! My sister is better than this. Which is why I'm proud when she signs.
Whether the truce happens or not, I'll never go back to you.
A smirk curves his lips.
Never say never.
You're insane.
She signs.
Guilty as charged.
You won't have me.
I had you once.
Won't be happening again.
We won't know until I try.
Stop being delusional.
Stop fighting the inevitable.
That's fucking it. I wedge myself between them not so gently, and Jeremy accompanies me as I glare at the motherfucker. Leave, before I fuck up your face.
Last I checked, that's not a good starting point for a truce, no?
Bran grabs onto his brother's arm and doesn't look at me as he says,
Let's just go. I won't be taking a step outside unless you give me your word about the truce.
Landon stares at Jeremy.
You know this is for everyone's benefit, Cecily and Glynn included.
Not happening. I speak with difficulty, trying not to grab Bran and shove him to my side.
It can be for your benefit, too,
Landon tells me.
In return, I will refrain from breaking your face for the damage you inflicted on my brother.
Forget it, Lan.
Bran tugs harder on his arm, his voice sounding strangled.
I'm fine. No, you're not.
Landon cocks his head and glares at me.
I don't like it when others harm my family.
Funny coming from you. Once I'm done with you, nothing will be left for anyone to recognize. Bran finally looks at me, and I stare back. I'm going to fucking kill your brother. Since you already hate me, I might as well go all the way.
Please stop.
Glynn takes her brother's side and pleads with Kill.
Lan isn't the type who offers truces, so can you take it?
Even if we agree to the truce, my cousin says, Mia is off the table.
That's not for you to decide, is it?
Landon smiles, and I swear to fuck he's the most provocative asshole on this planet. And here I thought Kill was dire. Jeremy keeps a strong grip on my shoulder, and even that can't keep me in place. She already told you no.
I can work with a no.
Landon walks to my sister, passes her a velvet box, and has the audacity to whisper in her ear. I push Jeremy away and shove Landon back so hard he falls against his siblings. Bran staggers to keep his brother upright, and I curse under my breath. Tonight is just a fucked up fucking case of fucking fuckery. Why did he have to be here? This is why I didn't want to fucking see him. Fuck!
I'll take that as you saying yes to my offer. As for the Mia issue, I'll leave that to her. Just know that I won't take lightly to any censorship or attempts to keep me away from her. You can torture me if you fancy. I'll also leave my door open in case you want to kidnap me and exact revenge for past travesties. So let me know your plan. Or don't. I'm open to surprises.
Landon glides his attention to Kill.
You and I are even, considering the whole Glynn situation.
My cousin's face hardens and he steps forward, but Glynn and Bran tug their brother back.
I'll be out of your hair. For some reason, it feels like I'm not welcome here. I wonder why.
You motherfucking... I lunge at him, but I stop when Bran mouths...
Please.
Fucking hell. I let Jeremy and the others pull me back as I watch the three of them going down the stairs. Bran glances at me one last time, his shoulders crowding with tension, his eyes full of anguish. I just found out my baby sister is getting in bed with the enemy in every sense of the word. But the part that makes me lose my fucking mind is the damn pain in Bran's eyes.
Can we talk? We can meet briefly in the penthouse. You don't have to spend the night if you don't want to. You looked really on edge. I just want to make sure you're okay. Can I see you? So you're not going to apologize for punching me? Not that I'm cross with you or anything. Okay, I am, but not about the punch. I know you didn't do that on purpose. But you're definitely ignoring me on purpose. About Lan and Mia, I didn't want to keep that a secret. But I knew you'd throw a fit if you found out and, well, I was right, wasn't I? If it's of any consolation, I think Lan is really serious about her. He's never been serious about anyone in his entire life. He's never had a relationship or fought for a girl's affection. Can you believe he asked me to teach him how to practice empathy just to win her over? That's the first time he's ever asked me anything, and I'm loving it. We got close this week, and I'm really enjoying our time together. I even showed him a few of the paintings I keep a secret, and he said he's proud of me. Can you believe it? Lan being proud of me. The last time he said that was when we were young. Well, I might have played a part in how we grew apart. But anyway, he said he knows the right agent for me, and it's his agent. He introduced us the other day, and I really like her, better than the one Mum has been trying to make me sign with. She understands my vision so well, and maybe soon I'll stop keeping those paintings a secret. I'm starting to have hopes, and it's because of none other than Lan. Isn't that crazy? Though I'm not in a particularly good mood. Hint, it's because of you. I kind of miss you. Okay, that was a lie. I really miss you. Nikolai, please, don't do this. You're clearly reading my texts, but you can't spare me a few words? You know what? Forget it.
Those were the texts Brand sent me over the past week, and yes, I read every one of them, but I couldn't reply. If I did, I'd get disastrously violent. My racing thoughts and fucked up head haven't calmed down yet. For the first time ever, I've spent 2 weeks on a high. A whole 2 fucking weeks. This is not the state I want to talk to him in. But against my better judgment, which is MIA lately, I'm outside the elite's mansion where I used to wait for him every morning. I lean against my bike that's camouflaged by a bent tree and stare at the reason why I rode all the way here. Despite the fact that I don't reply to his texts, I actually follow his every move, whether through his or his friend's social media. An hour ago, he posted a picture of Remington clutching him in a chokehold as both of them laughed. They were fucking laughing. What made it worse was the caption.
Late night chats with Remy are the best. I'm so thankful to have you at Lord-Remington-Aster.
And then Remington's reply.
Cheers, mate. You know you're my fave. Don't tell my spawn.
I wasn't thinking when I came here. Something I haven't been doing enough of. Sometimes I believe the best solution for this whole fuckery is to go into the elite's mansion, kill Landon, then kidnap his brother. But something tells me that won't go over well. As if that dilemma wasn't enough, he had to post that picture with Remington. In his damn bedroom. Jesus fucking Christ. Is that what forget it means? Has he already found a replacement and tossed me aside? Not in his goddamn dreams. My fingers are stiff as I type. Me. Come outside.
Bran. Look who decided to finally acknowledge my existence.
Come fucking outside, Brandon.
Where? Please don't tell me you're here.
Outside now.
Fine. You're such a joy today.
I narrow my eyes at the phone. Of course I'm not a joy compared to that clown Remington. Bran even once said,
he's just so funny.
He fucking isn't. My muscles are about to snap from how wound up and tight they feel. 2 weeks on a high is just too long, and I don't sense any signs of coming down anytime soon. I took the pills the night I punched Bran because I couldn't trust myself anymore. I had to admit that I was losing control. They didn't help, unless nearly fucking drowning in the pool is considered help. Still, I took 3 of them earlier so that I won't do something I'll regret. The thought of hurting him fucking terrifies me. But I don't think they're working. The urge to punch someone is greater than I can contain. I should have stayed away. I really shouldn't be here. My heart rate picks up when I catch a glimpse of Bran striding hurriedly toward me. He knows the exact place where I'll be waiting. God fucking damn it. I've missed him and his sophisticated presence. The plain black shorts and the gray t-shirt do nothing to hide his fit physique. His hair is in a bit of a mess, falling haphazardly over his forehead, making him look more human instead of his uptight side. He comes to a halt in front of me, and his expression slowly shifts from anger to softness? Since when does he soften?
We could have met in the penthouse. You didn't have to come here. Not that I didn't want you to be here.
I stare at him and keep my mouth shut. I don't trust myself not to snap right now.
Nikolai, listen.
He rounds the bike and stands in front of me.
There are a lot of things I want to talk to you about. I actually spoke to my friends and Glynn and—
Shut the fuck up. I grab him by the throat and shove him against the tree's trunk. I'm not here to talk. I crash my lips to his, and he releases a startled sound, but I swallow it the fuck up. He tastes of lemon, ginger, and honey. He tastes like my imminent downfall. I thrust my tongue against his, slurping, tugging, and biting until he moans. He moans for me as if he's been fucking waiting for this, as if he didn't already replace me with someone else.
Nico, wait.
He wrenches his lips away. I'm done waiting. I chase his mouth, then claim it again. He pulls on my hair, but I feel nothing. No pain, no thoughts. Just fucking blind possessiveness, twisted desire. The need to fucking own him, claws inside me like a beast. I yank my lips away from his and whirl him around, then shove his face against the tree, my fingers wrapping around his nape. I tug down his shorts, revealing his ass.
Nikolai?
My lips line up with his ear, and I breathe so harshly it's nearly a growl. Tell me to stop. This is your only chance to do so. Tell me you don't want me anymore. Say it, and I'll go.
It's not that.
His choppy exhales echo in the air like my own aphrodisiac. If it's not that, shut your fucking mouth.
What's wrong?
Shut it. I pull out my cock that's been hard since I saw him and spit on my hand. No lube. This will have to do. He releases an affirmative sound, but it ends with a grunt when I push past the tight ring of muscle. My body, that's been uncharacteristically dead for the past 2 weeks, roars back to life when I'm sheathed inside him. Fuck, I growl, my teeth biting down on the hollow of his throat. Brand turns his face to glimpse at me, and I don't like it. I don't like how he looks at me with those soft eyes, as if he missed me, as if he didn't fucking replace me. So I thrust harder, reach deeper, go faster.
Nico.
He groans when I hit that spot with my piercings.
Fuck. We're in public.
And yet, you're so hard you're humping the tree. You get hot and bothered about the prospect of being caught.
Jesus. Fuck. I miss the way you fuck me.
Shut the fuck up. This time I wrap my fingers around his mouth. I don't want to hear his voice. I don't want to hear what he has to say, and I don't want to get lost in him again. I'm just proving a point. The fact that he belongs to me and only me. The fact that he still only wants me and will never fucking replace me. You're mine, Brandon. Fucking mine. If you think there's another option out there for you other than me, I have a newsflash for you. I bite the shell of his ear and he moans, the sound muffled by my hand. You fucking don't. Just know that I'll slaughter anyone you let near you and fuck you in their blood. I squeeze his cock and jerk him fast and rough, matching the rhythm of my cock in his ass. He thrusts his hips forward, then back, slamming his ass against my groin over and over until his madness mirrors mine. The slaps of flesh against flesh echo in the air as I pound him, rough and unhinged. Fucking fuck! He comes all over my hand, groaning and trying to say something, but my grip on his mouth doesn't allow him to. Even after he comes, he continues to ride my cock, jerking back and forth, milking me, dragging the orgasm from somewhere deep in my fucked up soul instead of my body. I come deep in him and he moans, his teeth sinking into my fingers and his body shudders beneath mine. If I didn't know it before, then I'm sure now. I'll never enjoy fucking again if it isn't with him. He fucking broke me, literally and figuratively. My mind is still a goddamn mess, even as I pull out of him. My cum trickles down his balls and thighs, and I want to fuck it right back inside him like I usually do, but this is not about touching. This is about proving a fucking point. When I remove my hand, Brand's lips reach for mine, but I step back and out of reach. I've never seen him so hurt, so distraught as he looks right now. All the pleasure has vanished, and he watches me slowly, warily, as if he's seeing my eyes for the first time. We tuck ourselves in as he faces me. I grab his hand, and he stiffens as I remove the watch and check beneath it. There's an old scar, but no new ones that I can see, though he could be doing it somewhere hidden, like with the fucking nicks due to shaving.
I didn't.
He slowly pulls his hand free.
I haven't done it since the last time.
Good. He cocks his head, his face unreadable.
Can you tell me what's wrong now?
You better not let anyone else touch you, or I swear to fuck, my murder threats will become reality. He nods, his expression serious.
We're exclusive, remember?
You should be the one who remembers that.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I turn around and hop on my bike.
Wait, you're leaving? Just like that?
Just like that.
Nikolai, don't you fucking dare walk away from me.
You've done that countless times. Why can't I? His expression drips with pain, and he opens his mouth. I should be on my way, but I can't. Not when he has something to say.
I'm sorry.
What the fuck did I say about apologizing?
What do you want me to say or do? I'm trying to get close to you, but the harder I try, the further you slip away.
Let me ask you. I turned sideways to face him. If you had to choose between me and your brother, who would you pick?
Neither. It's not supposed to be a choice. Besides, if you accept him with Mia, he'll have no choice but to accept you with me.
My sister is not up for fucking negotiation. His face falls and he swallows thickly.
Then I guess you made your choice.
And so did you. I rev the engine. I need to get out of here before I proceed with my very irrational idea about kidnapping him. A voice inside me demands that, scratching and clawing at the fucking foundation of my being just to keep him close. But if I do that, if I take him, I'll hurt him. I just know I will fucking lose him. So even though I continue staring at him in the rearview mirror, standing there with his hand in his hair, I don't go back. I need to eliminate the vermin that is Landon King. Then, I need a whole bottle of the fucking pills.
29. Brandon.
Nikolai, I'll make the choice for you about Landon. Consider him dealt with.
That's the text I get after another fucking week of radio silence from Nikolai. After he fucked me against the tree and then left, without letting me kiss him, talk to him, nothing. He even gave me an ultimatum while being non-negotiable about his own sister. Lan and I might have our problems, but he's my twin brother, the person I know the best, the person I look to whenever I'm drowning in fucking self-loathing. Watching him be his shameless, confident self gives me hope that I could be okay. If my identical twin is, then I could be as well. No one but Lan and I understand the complexity of our relationship. Not even Mum and Dad are privy to that. So how could Nikolai give me that ultimatum? How could he suggest that he'll deal with my brother and think I'll let him? How the fuck could he even make me choose? At Mia's birthday party, I noticed he wasn't himself. He had this empty, bottomless expression, and sometimes he'd look at me, and I didn't think he was seeing me. I've wanted to be there for him, and I fucking tried countless times, for that matter. He's the one who slammed the door in my face. I can't help thinking this is revenge for all the times I kept him at arm's length. The push and pull game has reversed, and I'm now on the receiving end. But I've never threatened his family. I might have hidden Lan and Mia's fling, but I really thought it would blow over, and it'd do more harm than good to let him know. And yes, I might have been distant at times, but I was there when he wanted me to be. He, on the other hand, has made it abundantly clear that he wants nothing to do with me anymore. He doesn't communicate, doesn't come to the penthouse, and he's completely fine with the prospect of losing me by hurting my brother. Forget about being heartbroken. I'm fucking livid right now. I texted Mia about her brother's plans, and she gave me a code to access the heathen's mansion. That's where I am right now, after driving like a madman. However, when I arrive at the annexed house where Mia told me to meet her, I'm stopped by three bulky guards. Two of them are built like rocks and look at me as if I'm a cockroach. They're standing on either side of the metal door, arms crossed in front of them, but I catch a glimpse of their guns, holstered at their waists. The one who steps forward is a younger blonde man, who looks no older than me, but his expression is solemn as he orders in a Russian accent.
Step back.
I'm here to see Mia, I say in my firm voice.
That won't be possible. Leave the property or we'll escort you out. The second option will not be pleasant.
I won't move until I see Mia and my brother. He steps forward, but I remain rooted in place. I have no doubt that he'll pummel me to the ground, but I don't care. At this point, all I want is to take my brother home in one piece. Tell Nikolai I'm here, I say when he reaches for me.
What?
Tell him I want to see him and that he doesn't want to fucking test me.
Why would Nikolai want to see you?
He says with a note of condescension that gets under my skin. In his eyes, I'm Lan's identical twin, and therefore Nikolai would hold the same level of contempt for me. But that's not true. Even Jeremy and Killian actually like me, and have always differentiated me from Lan's antics. Nikolai has too, from the beginning. He calls me Lotus Flower because of it, but now he's being a massive dick. The guard starts to push me, and I fight against him. But before he can punch me in the face, the door creaks open. My breath hitches when Lan steps out, swaying on unsteady legs. Blood gushes from the corner of his lip, and purple bruises decorate his cheeks and neck. But the part that leaves me paralyzed is the way his left hand lies limp by his side as he holds his forearm. No, no, no! I wrench myself from the guard's grip and run to him. Lan, are you okay? What the fuck are you doing here, Bran? He snaps and grabs me by the nape. Why can't you just stop being a busybody and stay still? I can't watch you being hurt and do nothing. I inspect his arm, my heart thundering loudly when I touch his wrist and he groans. Is your wrist okay? He waves me away. Nikolai was jealous and tried to break it, but I think I got away with the sprain. Nikolai did. He said either I leave Mia or he breaks my artist wrist. I close my eyes briefly, but it does nothing to disperse the pain flooding through me. You picked Mia. It's not a question, because I know now how much he'd self-destruct for her. I've never seen him dedicated to anyone as much as he is to her. A pained, bloody grin curls his lips. Sure as fuck. Would do it again in a heartbeat. He coughs and then spits a mouthful of blood on the concrete floor. I grab him by the waist and start dragging him to where I had to leave the car near the entrance. Let's get you to a doctor. He grumbles a noise at the back of his throat, but he leans on me and lets me half carry him. I've got to say, it's refreshing to see you worried about me. He ruffles my hair. Stop messing around, Lan. You screwed up your wrist and all you can think about is me being worried about you. It's a very important element. Seriously? Uh-huh. It means you care. I always care. You're the one who doesn't. Fuck that. If you weren't here, I would have introduced that bunch of heathens to my special brand of fucked up. And get yourself killed. Will you cry at my funeral? Lan, don't joke about nonsense like that. But I want to know. Will you? I sigh as I help him into the passenger seat. You're my twin brother. And? He looks at me expectantly, like a fucking hyena who's waiting to pounce on its prey. Or maybe it's just expectation, and I'm reading too much into it. And that means I wouldn't be the same without you. Not that you share the sentiment. I start to close the door, but he shoves his foot against it, keeping it open. You know, that's your problem, Bran. You always assume things about me instead of fucking talking to me. It's a nasty habit that needs to go. He holds my gaze with his identical one. I wouldn't be the same without you either, twat. You're part of me. Ownership again? Classic. It's not fucking ownership. If I owned you, I wouldn't give two flying fucks about you, because I'd already have you in my grasp. He clutches my hand, and I wince at how hard it is. I want you to listen to me, and listen carefully. You're part of me. That means I'm critical of you like I'm critical of myself. I see your safety as my own, sometimes even more so because you tend to think of others' comfort more than your own. I hated it when you closed yourself behind a fortress and kept me out. I need you to understand that. I swallow thickly, his words demolishing a wall inside me brick by brick. You put me as spare parts in your phone when we were 13. Because you demanded your own room. You said, and I quote, I don't want to share space with that vermin. I'm nothing if not petty. I wince. That was around the time everything started to fall apart. All I can do is nod and pull my hand from his. He groans when he lays his wrist on his thigh, and the anger from earlier washes over me again. Give me a second. Where are you going? He asks, but I lock him in the car so he doesn't try to follow. Then I march back to the annex house. I catch a glimpse of Killian and Mia walking toward the main house as she signs furiously and he listens with a tight expression. Jeremy is talking to Nikolai in front of the annex, where the guards are still poised nearby. I stride toward them, but once again I'm stopped by the blonde guy. Nikolai lifts his head, and a frown appears between his brows. His hair is tied in a ponytail, and he's actually wearing a t-shirt and trousers. But then again, he wouldn't want to get my brother's fucking blood on him.
Let him go, Ilya.
He tells the blonde, and he reluctantly releases me. I walk forward and drive my fist into his face. He reels back and clutches his cheek as his darkened eyes snap to mine. Jeremy is stunned for a second. I am too, as I resist the urge to shake my hand. That fucking hurts. It's worth it, though. Congratulations, Nikolai. You get your fucking wish. I point a finger at his chest. We're over. Jeremy stares between us with a calculative expression, as if he's linking patterns, but I honestly couldn't care less anymore. I turn to leave, but Nikolai grabs me by the arm, and his hard chest presses to my back as he growls in my ear.
In your fucking dreams, baby.
Fuck him. I elbow him and release myself from his grip. Without looking back, I jog to where I left Lan. Maybe it's time I put this whole thing behind me. For good. 30. Brandon. You're losing focus, son. I lift my head and jerk when I accidentally touch the hotspot. Bran! Dad takes my hand in his and inspects my fingers. His touch burns my cursed wrist. I feel as if his laser eyes will reach beneath the watch and see the evidence of how fucked I am. Glynn was right. My parents love me. They always have. But a part of me can't help thinking it's because of the facade I put on so well. Their dutiful son, an obedient teenager, never complains and never throws a fit. Never gets in their way. Never causes them headaches like Lan does. A part of me believes that if they see me for who I truly am, I'll lose the son of the year.